Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos, Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Hacholot shecholot sliyvim dalei paslo. The Mishnah taught us that if Saris, who is obviously not a candidate to do chalitza yibam, gave chalitza to his Yevama, that act is a meaningless act, and therefore this widow is not considered a chalutza who may not marry a kohen. However, if the saris had relations with the yevama, which he wasn't supposed to have, given that there is no chiyuv yibum because he's a saris, she becomes disqualified from marrying a kohen. Says the Gemara, Tama de Balahu, it's because he, the saris, who's a brother-in-law, had relations with the widow, that's why she becomes disqualified from a kohen. She attains the status of a zayna. Because, since, as we know, normally a brother-in-law may never marry or have relations with his sister-in-law. It's only when the Torah gave us the mitzvah of yibum is it permissible. Given that in this case, since he's a saris, there is no mitzvah yibum, so she retains the status of an eishes ach, and which is an iser chiv karis, and therefore a woman who has a relation which is a chiv karis becomes a zoyna and may not marry a kohen ever. Ha'acher, implied out in our Mishnah, if there's a woman who's a Shemeres Yavam, she's waiting for Yibam, and she has relations with another man, so she transgresses a lav, that woman would not be considered a Zayna, and would not become disqualified to marry a Kohen. Loi, she doesn't become disqualified to the Kahuna. Lema, so our Mishnah seems to be to have it to Yufta, the Rav Hamnuna, should be refutation of Rav Hamnuna's position, that even a Shemeres Yavam that has relations with another man, which Psula Yavma, she's disqualified for Yavam, and according to Rav Hamnuna, she's considered like an Ashes Ish who had relations, who had an adulterous relationship. Similarly, Rav Hamnuna will hold that she would be considered a Zoyna and may never marry a Kohen. Our Mishnah seems to say that that would not be the case. Answers the Gemara Loi. Who are then afil lachanami? Even if a woman who's a Shemeres Yavim has relations with any man, not specifically her brother-in-law, whom she's not supposed to have a relationship with, she becomes disqualified to marry a Kohen. Just either Tanereshah b'didei, since the first case of the Mishnah, where it speaking about doing chalitza, and the question is, does the chalitza of a Saris Chama, is it considered a chalitza or not? Because if it's considered a chalitza, the woman is considered a chalutza, and she may not marry Kohen. If it's a meaningless act, then she may marry Kohen. That's certainly only a relevant discussion regarding the brother-in-law. If a man who's not related at all comes and does chalitza, there's obviously no question that that's a meaningless act. That's why Tananam is safer by the day, so that last part of the Mishnah also talks about the Saris Chama doing yibum. But actually, it would be the same then if anyone had relations with this woman, we would perhaps follow Rav Hamnuna's opinion and disqualify her from ever being able to marry a kohen, because she becomes a zoyna, even though the iser she did was only chiyuv lav. It's considered, according to Rav Hamnuna, the same as an eishes ish having relations that becomes prohibited from ever marrying a kohen. The Mishnah continued, v'chein eilnes shecholtz loyachim. If an eilnes received chalitza, that doesn't disqualify her from a kohen, because it's a meaningless act, because she's not a candidate for chalitza. But if she had relations with a brother-in-law, that does disqualify her from ever marrying a kohen, because she's now a zayna. Says the Gemara, Tama de Baluha, only because she had this relationship, which she wasn't supposed to have, does she become disqualified from marrying a kohen? Hala belua, had she not have had this physical relationship, loy, she would not become disqualified from marrying a kohen. Kaman, this position that our Mishnah is articulating is the like Rabbi Yehuda, does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda, we learned on Daf Samach Aleph, says Ha'omar, Ayin Zayna, he, every Ayinus is considered a Zayna. He quoted a Pasuk Mehiznu V'la Yifritzu, that anybody that can multiply automatically is considered in the status of a Zayna, and therefore according to Yehuda, it's irrelevant if she had this relationship that she wasn't supposed to have. She's a Zayna anyway, because every idleness according to Yehuda is a Zayna. Says the Mishnah, Srischama koin shenasa bas Yisrael. If a Srischama marries a Jew, who is a koin, marries a bas Yisrael, so as the Rishonim point out, were he to be a Sris Adam, then that marriage is an illegal marriage, as we discussed so much in the previous Dafim. The Pasuk says, Lo Yovah B'tzua Daka B'Kal Hashem. There's certainly an Isser in such a marriage, and certainly if she's a Bas Yisrael, she would not be allowed to eat Truma if her husband, the Kohen, married her under those circumstances. Our Mishnah is referring to, however, Sris Chama, who may get married. So Mishnah teaches us that if he's a Kohen and his wife is Bas Yisrael, Machila B'Truma, she may eat Truma. Rabbi Yosef of Shimon Oimrim, androgynous koyin shenasa bas Yisrael. If there's a person who's an androgynous is a person who has both the organs of a male and a female. As Mefarshim explained, andrew is the Greek word for male, and gynos is the Greek word for female. So he has both the attributes of a male and a female. Says the Mishnah, if such an androgynous who's a kohen married a bas Yisrael, mechila b'truma, she's allowed to eat truma. In other words, this Tana holds that he's considered a zachar. Yehuda Omer, tumtum shenikra. If we have a tumtum, is a person whose organs are covered, and we don't know if he's a male or a female, and now they became uncovered, and v'nimtza zachar, and he was found to have male organs, lo yachlitz. He should not do chalitza, b'neishu saris. He's considered a saris, and a saris, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, should not be doing chalitza yibum. Continues the Mishnah, an androgynous noisa, an androgynous may marry a woman, he's considered a zachar. There's machlokes rishonim, which we will discuss more in tomorrow's shir, how far we take this statement of an androgynous noisei. Some Rishonim take it to mean that he is considered a zocher, and a marriage that he makes is considered a valid marriage. Others come to say androgynous noisei means that he has an obligation, just like every man has an obligation to get married. Androgynous noisei, so too this androgynous should get married. Avloi Nisa, he can't be taken in marriage by a man because he's a male. A male is not subject to marriage. A male makes a marriage. Rabbi Lezer Omer, androgynous chayav lo zicha. If somebody had a physical relationship with an androgynous, if a male had a physical relationship with an androgynous, it's as if he had a homosexual relationship, and he's chayav skila. And we will learn in the Gemara what is the difference between the Tanakh, the previous position that we just learned, that androgynous noisei and Rebbe Lezer's position, both are really essentially saying that androgynous has the status of a male. So the first thing we learned in our Mishnah was that if a Sris Chama Koyin married a Bas Yisrael, that Bas Yisrael may eat Truma. Ask the Rapshita. Of course she may eat Truma. She's married to a Koyin. It's 100% legal marriage. So why shouldn't she be allowed to eat Truma? Answers the Gemara, Madatema Moilid Machel. Only the person who has the ability to father children. Such a Kohen gives his wife to eat Truma. However, She'ena Moilid, a Kohen who can't have children. Ena Machel, his wife is not entitled to eat Truma. Mashmalan, that it makes no difference. As long as he's a valid Kohen and the marriage is a legal marriage, she may eat Truma. We further learned in our Mishnah, Rav Yitzchak of Shimon Oimim, Androgynous, the Androgynous, who's a Kohen and married the daughter of Yisrael, she may eat Truma. Amrei Shlokish, Sir Shlokish comments, Mechila b'Truma, she may eat Truma. V'ein Mechila b'Chaz v'Shoik. The Chaz v'Shoik that of a Karbonis, of Kachem Kalim, that go to the Kohen, that his entire family may eat, she may not eat. Rabbi Yochanan holds, Af Mechila b'Chaz v'Shoik, she's allowed to eat Chaz v'Shoik also. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan's position is that the androgynous is considered a full-fledged male, a regular Kohen, who, if he marries a woman, his family, his wife, may eat Truma, may eat Chaz v'Shoik. Rav Shimon, Rish Lakish, obviously holds that it's a Sofik. And therefore asked the Gemara, if it's a Sofik, Rish Lakish Mashna Chaz v'Shoik, why don't we allow her to eat the Chaz v'Shoik? Because Dereisa, there's a Issa Dereisa for someone who's not the wife of a Kohen, someone who's not a Kohen to eat the Chaz v'Shoik. Since we don't really clearly know, according to Rish Lakish, the status of this androgynous, he may indeed not be a man, and therefore cannot affect Kedushin. That's why his wife may not eat the Chaz v'Shoik. Ask the Gemara, Truma Nami Daraisa. So Truma is also an Issa Daraisa for someone to eat. So why is his wife allowed to eat Truma? Answers the Gemara, Hachim Ma'eskinen, but Truma is Mazman Azeh Darabonin. We're referring to Truma Mazman Azeh, that the chiyuv nowadays to take Truma is only midrabbanon, because the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael became bottled, it went away after the Churban, something that we'll discuss more in Mitzvah in tomorrow's shir, and therefore the Gemara is suggesting that's why we're more lenient regarding the Truma. Asks Rabbi Chanan, we're explaining that Rish Lakish has a suffix. Is the androgynous considered a man, and therefore this woman is his wife? Or is the androgynous not considered a male, and this woman is not considered his wife? The woman is obviously Bas Yisrael, who, were she not married to Kohen, is not entitled to Truma. Ask Rabbi Chanan, why don't we follow Chazaka? That in all areas of Halacha, we know, says Rabbi Chanan, we follow the status quo. And this woman was certainly a Bas Yisrael. Why don't I follow the status quo of saying she's a Bas Yisrael and not allow it to eat Truma either? Answers Rabbi Chanan, we can never rely on a Chazaka when there was some sort of an action that put that status of Chazaka into question. Here there was certainly a Kedushin between the androgynous and this woman. So yes, we may have a question, is it a good Kedushin, is it not a good Kedushin? But certainly there was a Kedushin. And once there's an action in place, that action upsets the status quo that she's considered a full-fledged Bas Yisrael. Says the Gemara, according to Rish Lakish's line of reasoning, Abba's man, Beis Hamikdash Kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Mai, what would be the halacha regarding Truma? Loi, she would not be allowed to eat the Truma. Because then, eating Truma is also a deraisa. Ask the Gemara, Adatani, instead of Rish Lakish teaching us that this woman, Ein Machila v'chaz v'shoik, may not eat chaz v'shoik, lifnuk v'lesnuk b'dedah, let's discuss Truma. And let's make the following distinction. The medvar mamurim, when may the wife of an androgynous eat truma, betruma derabanan, when we're only referring to truma derabanan, ava betruma deraisa, when it's truma deraisa, loy, she may not eat it. So we don't have to bring chaz v'shoik into the equation. Just differentiate between truma deraisa, which she may not eat, and truma derabanan, which she may eat. And it's the Gemara, Hachinami Kama. That's actually what Rish Lakish is saying. Shemachila, when she's allowed to eat Truma, Machila b'Truma b'Zmanazeh, she's allowed to eat Truma b'Zmanazeh, with the Chi of Truma b'Zmanazeh, as we explain, is only the Rabbanim. Ve'ein Machila b'Zman Chaz v'Shoik. But in a time where there is Chaz v'Shoik, that means when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and people can receive Chaz v'Shoik, and therefore truma could be truma deraisa. Then Reish Lakish will hold that fil truma derabanan, even truma which is only truma derabanan, she may not eat. As Rashi explains, midaraisa, the only products from which there's a chiyuv to give truma, midaraisa, a dogger, the five grains, tirosh, grapes, the yitzar, and olives. All other fruits and vegetables, the obligation to give truma is only midrabanan. But Reish Lakish is telling us that when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and there is a situation of truma deraisa, then afilu truma derabanan, even truma which is only midrabanan, all other fruits and vegetables besides dog and tirish v'yitzar, she may not eat either. Because we're concerned that we're going to allow her to eat truma derabanan, she may come even to eat truma deraisa. So exactly what Reish Lakish is saying is that only now, when truma is derabanan, do we allow her to eat the wife of an androgynous to eat truma. When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, she certainly can't eat chaz v'shoik, nor will she be able to eat truma deraisa, nor will we even allow her to eat truma derabanan, because at that point, we're concerned that if we allow her to eat truma derabanan, she may come to eat truma deraisa. Rav Yochanan, as we learned, says, af machil b'chaz v'shoik. She's even allowed to eat chaz v'shoik, because as we explained, Rav Yochanan obviously is of the opinion that the androgynous is a male, and his wife is considered his full-fledged wife. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, so Reish Lakish asks Reish Lakish, the basis of your understanding is that you're differentiating between Truma Mizmanazeh, which you're holding is Drabona, versus Truma Bizman Beis Manishkayim, which is Truma Deraisa. Ask Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Mi Savat Truma Mizmanazeh B'drabonon, do you indeed hold that Truma Mizmanazeh is only Drabonon? And as Tosis points out, actually Rabbi Yochanan also holds that Truma Mizmanazeh is Drabonon. But as we're explaining, the debate between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan is asking Reish Lakish, are you so convinced, are you so sure that Rabbi Yossi holds Truma Mizmanazeh Drabonon? Amalei, so Reish Lakish responds, in, yes, I hold that everybody holds the Truma Mizmanazeh Drabonon. And before we begin to learn the next piece of Gemara, we have to review some very fundamental halachas regarding bittul, regarding nullification. Midaraisa, if one item falls into another item, we follow the majority. The Torah tells us to always go after Roif. However, Chazal, under certain circumstances, said that we do not just follow majority, actually, under all circumstances. But there are qualitative reasons not to follow Roif, to require, not to allow nullification, and there are quantitative aspects. The quantitative aspects are, as we know, in many situations, there's a requirement for shishim, for ratio of 60 to 1 to say bittul. As we learn in our Gemara, sometimes there's a requirement for a ratio of 100 to 1. Sometimes there's even a requirement of 200 to 1. Those are qualitative reasons not to say bittul, not to say that nullification is relevant. But sometimes there are qualitative reasons not to say bittul. For example, davar shebeminyan, something which is sold by peace. Since something that's sold by peace is choshev, it's significant, therefore Chazal said it doesn't become bottle, it doesn't become nullified. And that's exactly what we're going to be discussing now. Says Reish Lakish, ani shoina, I learned eagle be'egulim, their cakes, their figs were generally pressed into a round cake called an eagle, that the halacha is that if one pressed fig cake fell into 100 other, if one pressed fig cake of truma fell into 100 pressed cakes of figs, igulim of figs, so we have a ratio of 100 to 1, it becomes bottle. So explain the Rishayim. actually, it should not become batel, because these igulim are something which are sold by piece, commonly, not exclusively, but usually. Since it has this characteristic, it should not become batel. Why does it become batel? It must be because truma is only the rabbanon, and that's why Chazal were lenient and allowed the eagle, which normally should not become batel, to become batel. So we see from here, says Rish Lakish, that truma is the rabbanon. The Rishonim explain that the Gemara is using the word oila to mean batel, to be nullified. That isn't what oila usually means. So they explain that when this truma eagle falls into 100 chulin eagles, there are two halachic considerations here, two halachic concerns. One is a concern: do we can say that the truma became batel? Do we not say that the truma become batel? And then there's a financial consideration: this eagle of truma belongs to the kohen; it's the property of the kohen. So explain the Rishonim. Our discussion that we just had and that we will have in Mitzvah Hashem regarding Bittel is only regarding the Issev Heter. Is it considered Truma that may not be eaten by Yisrael? Is it not considered Truma? But as far as the financial consideration, certainly there is one eagle that belongs to the Kohen. And we're not allowed to cheat the Kohen out of his property. Therefore, if we had this mixture of one eagle of Truma that falls into 100 eagle of Chulin, that we just learned it becomes batel, that's only as far as the aspect of Issev Heter. But one eagle has to be, oila has to be taken out and given to the kohen, that he shouldn't have a financial loss. Amalei, says Rabbi Yochanan, your proof is not a proof, because ani shoyna, I learned in a braisa, which we'll discuss on Amud Beis and Mitzvah Shem, chatichoy mechatichos oila, a slice of meat that became mixed up with other slices of meat becomes batel. Even though a slice of meat is generally sold by piece, I hold, says Rabbi Yochanan, mi savrit kol shadarkalim nashaninu, that something that's commonly sold by piece doesn't become batel, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that's not the halacha. The halacha is esha darkalim nashaninu. Only something which is exclusively sold by piece does not become batel. Therefore, says Rav Yochanan, the piece of meat, since even though it's commonly sold by piece, since it's not exclusively sold by piece, it becomes batel. Similarly, the eagle, the reason it becomes batel is not because truma bezman hazeh is only the rabbanon. The reason it becomes batel is because the eagle is an item which is commonly sold by piece, but not exclusively sold by piece. And therefore, it becomes batel, and that has nothing to do with the question, is truma derabbanan or deraisa? Says the Gemara, Mahi, where do we find the basis for this machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding what is the characteristic of an item that it should not become batel? If it's just commonly sold by piece, it doesn't become batel, or does it have to be exclusively sold by piece not to become batel? The Tanan, mi sheish lo chavile tilson shekalei akerim, someone who has bundles of funga creek, a bundle is 25 pieces of kalei akerim. We know that kalei akerim is osur yudolku. The halacha is they should be burnt. And if these bundles become mixed up with other permitted bundles of Fungal Creek, Kulan Yibloiku, they should all be burnt, Divremeya, because there's something that are Choshev, and we'll discuss this more in a moment. Ask the Rishonim. Obviously, this Mishnah that we're quoting now is Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, we said, the Trum is the Rabbanon, and because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael became Batel, so similarly, Kali HaKerem is only midrabbanon. If kali akerim is only midrabbanon, so Rish Lakish, according to what he just said in Amud Aleph, should hold that it anyway becomes batel because it's only a midrabbanon. So there are a number of answers given to this question. One answer given by the Tosfos HaRosh is that we can't compare Kalei HaKerem to Truma. Since Kalei HaKerem is something which is not only Osir, but it's even Osir B'Hanah, that's why it's more stringent, and even Bizman HaZeh, when Kalei HaKerem is a Drabonon, it does not become bottle. That's Tosfos HaRosh Teretz. The Tosfos says a different Teretz. Tosfos says, Truma has two aspects of Drabonon. An eagle Shadveila has two reasons why it's Drabonon. Number one is because Bizman HaZeh, and as we're saying, Truma Bizman HaZeh is Drabonon. And furthermore, it's Truma of a Dveila, which we explained earlier in our shir, is only a Truma Drabonon. So since it's Drabonon twice, that's why we allow it to become bottle. Kalei HaKerem that only has one aspect of Drabonon, we are more machmer and do not allow it to become bottle. That's Rameyu's position. The Chom Omrim, Chom disagree, and they say Yal Bechem Asayim. It becomes bottle if we have here the required ratio is a 200-to-1 ratio. By Truma, the ratio that's required we said was 100-to-1. Here the ratio is a 200-to-1 ratio. Rameya says Kol Shadaka Limnos Mekadesh, anything that's counted, so it's chashiv, doesn't become bottle. The Chum Omer, the Chum disagree. Ein Mekadesh El Shisha Dvarim Belvad. There are only six items that don't become bottle. Rav Kiva says there are actually Shiva, seven items. What are they? Eluhein, a Goyze Perach, nuts from Perach, which were considered Choshev, Rimoni Baden, pomegranates from Baden, Chavius Stumis, sealed casks of wine. So, as the Miri explains, when the wine is cask is sealed, it's considered significant because that keeps the wine strong, and that's why it doesn't become bottle. Tchavlei tardin, beet stalks, kolchei krov, cabbage stalks. I'm trying to point out that it means the cabbage stalks of Eretz Yisrael, where cabbage was a very special vegetable. The last yavanis, Greek cucumbers. Rekivayim af kikra shabalabayis, homemade loaves of bread. Again, homemade loaves of bread were typically larger, says Tosfos, than the loaves produced by breakers. Haruin la'orla, and any of these items that we discuss when there's a shayla that it may be orla, the entire mixture is treated like orla. L'kalei HaKerem, when there's a mixed question that something of Kalei HaKerem got mixed up and it may be Issa Kalei HaKerem, the entire mixture is treated like Kalei HaKerem. So now the Gemara, according to Rashi's understanding, begins to explain the machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And Rashi says the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish evolves around the opinion of Rameya. Rameya says that anything that's significant doesn't become bottle. So now the Gemara is going to have a discussion. What is the characteristic that Rameya says is there to make it considered choshev? There are other Rishonim that take a different approach in explaining the Gemara. The Rashba explains that the machlokes that the Gemara is not going to explain is actually according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim identified six items that don't become bottle. So the Gemara is looking for what is the common denominator, what is the characteristic that defines these items that prevents them from becoming bottle. Rabbi Yochanan Soivar, a Shadakel Nashim Ninu, only something which is sold exclusively by count, exclusively by piece, does not become bottle. Rish Lakish Sofer, Kol Shadakel Mishninu. It doesn't have to be exclusively sold by peace. Even if it's just commonly sold by peace, it doesn't become bottle. Which is actually the Machlokes that we explained of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on Amun Aleph. And this was the reason why Rish Lakish was able to prove that Trum Bizman HaZez the Rabbanon. Because since an eagle is something which is commonly sold by peace, so it should not become bottle. The fact that it does become bottle is a proof because it's the Rabbanon and Chazal were Mekel. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Aleph, when he was disagreeing with Rish Lakish, said something about a piece of meat. And now the Gemara wants to know, Mai Chaticha, what's the piece of meat that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to? The Tanya, Chaticha Shalchatas Tameya, a piece of chatos, which is tamei, shnis arva b'meyeh chaticha shechatos tahiris, that got mixed up with 100 pieces of tor chatos. V'chein prusa shalechem ponim tamei, a piece of lechem ponim bread, which is tamei, which obviously may not be eaten if it's tamei. Shnis arva b'meyeh prusa shalechem ponim tahiris, that got mixed up with 100 pieces of tor lechem upon him, tala, becomes nullified. Hudaimer, loy tala, it does not become nullified. And we're going to follow Tosfos' explanation, Rabbi Yehuda. It does not become nullified because it's something that's choshev, and something that's choshev doesn't become nullified. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, ask, how could this Tana of Tama hold that a chaticha of meat becomes bottle? We know that one of the halachas regarding bittel, something that doesn't become nullified, is a chaticha arui l'skabed, something that's a piece of meat that is choshev. So a chaticha shel chatos, we're talking about a piece of meat, should be considered a chaticha arui l'skabed and doesn't become bottle. So Tosfos answers that kotshim are never considered a chaticha arui l'skabed because it has nothing to do with something that we're mechabed. Chaticha arui l'skabed means that if a guest came to my home, I would offer him this food, this piece of meat, as a nice portion. The portions that were given out in the Beis HaMikdash weren't something that one honored his guest with. It was given to us by Shemayim. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that since this is given to us, since only a limited group of people are allowed to eat it, only Zichrei Kohona, males, male Kohanim, again, something that has a limited audience is not considered a Chaticha Arui L'Skabed. Another answer given by the Ritva is that a Chaticha Schatis that's not cooked, we're talking about pieces of raw meat, is never considered a chaticha arui l'skabed, a very bechidish. That means if we'll have a raw steak, an expensive raw steak, but if it's not cooked, he says it's never considered a chaticha arui l'skabed. And the reasoning of the Ritva makes a lot of sense, because as we explained, what makes a chaticha arui l'skabed significant? The fact that it would be offered as a meal to guests. Nobody's going to offer guests raw meat. The Ra'ah, again, says an interesting teretz. Ra'ah says that the issue here is not with the meat itself. There's an outside factor playing on the meat. The fact that it's tamei, says the Ra'ah, that when do we say that something is considered chaticha arui l'skabed is when the piece of meat is inherently disqualified. But if it's an outside factor, then that's not considered something that's a chaticha arui l'skabed that doesn't become bottled. And in fact, this would have relevance la'alocha. Let's say we have a piece of meat that we would perhaps consider a chaticha arui l'skabed, but the isser is not inherent in the meat, it just has a bliya of something that's usser. According to this understanding of the Ra'ah, it would not be considered a chaticha arui l'skabed, and perhaps it would not be have the din that it doesn't become bottle. Continues the Braisa. Aval chaticha shel chatos tahira. Here we have a piece of tor chatos meat. Shnitz arva that got mixed in to meyeh chatichos shel chulin tahiris, to 100 pieces of tor chulin meat. V'chein pirusa shel lechem ponim tahira. We have one piece of lechem ponim which is tor that got mixed up. Shnitz arva meyeh pirusa shel chulin tahiris. There the halacha is the ve'akol loisala doesn't become nullified. And as Rashi and all the Rishonim explain, we don't want to rely on bittel when we don't have to. And here, since we don't have to rely on bittel, rather we'll say that all of this should just be eaten by the kohanim, even though it has much less value, because we follow the law of supply and demand. And since there's a decent supply of chatos meat, but the demand is small because only kohanim, as we just said, may eat it. Still, because of that insignificant loss, we will not rely on bittel. Ask Rashi, So if that concept is a true concept, so why is the eagle of Truma that becomes mixed up with 100 eagles of Chulin Batel? Why don't we just say the same halacha, that since it's a Hefsa Mu'at, we should just treat all of this mixture as Truma and have Kohanim eat it? Answers Rashi, going back to what the way we've been explaining the Gemara, that since Truma Bezman Hazeh is only Midrabbanan, therefore the Chazal were makel and said that even though the loss, it could all be sold, and the only question is somewhat of a loss, but not that it'll go completely to waste, we will rely on Bittel. However, Tanimeus, what does it say at the beginning part of the Mishnah? Tala, that it becomes bottle. I, a chaticha of carbon chattis, is something which is generally sold by peace. According to a shlokish, anything which is generally sold by peace should not become bottle. Answers the Gemara, Om Rav Chia B'Reid Rav Huna B'nei Moicha. Our Bryce is referring to a situation where the tamei chattis meat, or the tamei lechem upon him, became dissolved. So since it's dissolved, it's not something which is counted, it's dissolved. And that's why the Tanakhama holds that it becomes bottle. Ask the Gemara, if our Bryce that we're just discussing is speaking about dissolved pieces of meat, my time the Behuda, why does the Behuda and the Bryce say loy tala, that it doesn't become bottle? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda follows his opinion that he has everywhere, Dabamin Beminoi, anything that's mixed up, two mixtures of the same type, Loi Batel, never becomes nullified. And here, because they're both carbon chattis, albeit they're not choshev, because they're dissolved, it doesn't become Batel. And as the Rishonim explained, the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's psak, that two same types never become bottle, is from a pasuk that we find by the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol would shecht a par, and he would shecht a sor, a goat, and mix the blood of the par and the sor. And the pasuk says, "V'lok medam a par, medam a sor." He takes that blood that was mixed together. But isn't there so much more blood from the par than from the sor? Yet the pasuk says that they each retain their own identity. Why? Because since it's a min b'minoi, they're both the same type. Like bottle, there's no nullification. There's no bittel under such circumstances. There are Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that even by min b'minoi, we do say bittel. Hold that we can't bring a raya, can't bring a proof from the Dama Par and Dama Sawyer, because the Dama Par and Dama Sawyer was something that was brought on the Mizbeach. Their being brought on the Mizbeach makes them significant and not subject to Bittel. Every other item, even if it's the same, even if it's Min B'Minoi, can become Bittel. Tosfos also goes on to a discussion here, how far does Rabbi Yehuda take this concept of min b'minoi? Will it just be by liquids? Will it even be by powders? Let's say flour, heter flour and issa flour. So it's a dove yovesh. Will Rabbi Yehuda say it also by dove yovesh? Which Tosfos seems to say that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that by dove yovesh we don't say min b'minoi is not bottle. The only question is, how far will we say that Yehuda doesn't hold? What is a dove yovesh and what is not a dove yovesh? Will flour with flour be considered a dove yovesh, where Yehuda will agree that bittel is possible, or flour with flour not be considered a dove yovesh, and we consider it like a dove lach, where Yehuda says that min b'minoi doesn't become bottle? As we end this year, when we speak about bittel or we don't say bittel, there's a Gemara that says, that speaks about Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, Masechta Yuma. If Klal Yisrael, Oysim, Rechonim, Shemokim, Ein Lahem Minyan, they don't have a count. What? However, Ein Oysim, Rechonim, Shemokim, if they're not acting properly, Yesh Lahem Minyan, then they do have a count. Explains the Sefer Chanukah Satorah. if Klal Yisrael are acting properly, so then of course they're very significant. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And certainly, even if they don't have a minion, they will never become bottle. Our acts give us that significance. But if ain oisin ritzon in shalmakim, they're not acting properly. So that is a real concern. They're bittel. They should become nullified. We are the minority, a very significant minority in the world. Tells us the Gemara, but if they ain't oisin ritzon in shalmakim, yesh lahem minyan. And our Gemara just finished teaching us that a dovah should be minyan, something that's counted, ain loy bittel, never becomes nullified. So the Gemara says that even if Rachmona Tzlon ain oisin ritzon in shalmakim, Klal Yisrael are not acting properly, they don't have to worry. Yesh lahem minyan, there's something that they are considered like an item that's counted, that's exclusively counted, that our Gemara just taught us, ain lahem bittel, can never be nullified.